The Island Digest is a sampling of the stories in this week's Journal of the San Juans, Islands Sounder, and Islands Weekly, which are on newsstands now. The April 10th edition is brought to you by Orcas Center. I'm Caleb Summers. Headlines from the week of April 10th, 2024. Into the woods, it's time to go. In appreciation of native plants. Lopez shines at Coopville track meet. Youth Conservation Corps accepting applicants for summer. Plus, choice excerpts from the sheriff's log. First, from the Island's Sounder, Into the Woods, It's Time to Go, OC Production, by Colleen Smith Summers. Once upon a time, a group of actors wished, more than anything, for a local production of Into the Woods. With music and lyrics by Stephen Sondheim, the Tony Award-winning play is one of giant proportions, with an all-ages ensemble cast. It will run for 3 weekends on the Orcas Center main stage. It's a bucket list item to do a Sondheim, and this is easily his most accessible work, said director Jake Perrine, who is also the center's artistic director and is portraying Cinderella's prince in the show. The musical will run Thursday through Saturday from April 25th to May 11th, starting at 7 p.m. A matinee is on Sunday, May 5th at 2 p.m. Tickets are available at orcascenter.org. The running time is 2 hours. With Into the Woods, writer James Lapine and composer Sondheim brought well-known Brothers Grimm characters together for a timeless piece that generations have held dear. The production follows a baker and his wife, who wish to have a child, Cinderella, who wishes to attend the king's festival, Jack, who wishes his cow would give milk, Little Red Riding Hood, who wishes to see her grandmother, and more. When the baker and his wife learn they cannot have a child because of a witch's curse, they embark on a journey to break the hex. Everyone's wish is granted, but the consequences of their actions return to haunt them as their lives intersect. The characters are making individual discoveries in the first half, and then discover community in the second half, Perrine said. In addition to playing the role of Baker's wife, Katie Zwilling is the show's assistant director. Her 12-year-old daughter, Grace, was cast as Little Red Riding Hood, and her 9-year-old, Pix, is playing Milky White, the cow. Katie has been involved in a production of Into the Woods, her all-time favorite show, several times. The first was when she was Grace's age. I have wanted to do Into the Woods at Orcas Center forever, and I've been nagging Jake about it for years, Katie said. It's a show about community. When facing something bigger than you, how do you face it? It's a timeless thing in any era. When it came out in the 1980s during the AIDS pandemic, the revival in the 90s with 9/11, and now with COVID. Plus, it's also hilarious and ridiculous and fun and walks through joy, too. It can appeal to any age. A longtime actor, Katie says her role as assistant director broadened her knowledge of live productions. I feel like I've had a master class from Jake in technical theater and directing. There's a real art to decision-making, she said. And with my kids in the show, I've had to step out of being a parent and let them find autonomy at Orcas Center, which is different from how it's been for them here. Additional cast members are Indy Zeller as the baker, Katie Wachowski as the witch, Chelsea Sherman as Cinderella, Kyle Graham as the narrator, Luke Braun as Jack, Dory Braun as Jack's mother, Pedro Lopez de Victoria as Rapunzel's prince, Allison Calhoun as Rapunzel, Frank Michaels as the wolf and mysterious man, Ossifa Welch as the stepmother, Tori Smith as stepsister Florinda, Claire Orser as stepsister Lucinda, Tom Fiscus as the steward and Cinderella's father, and Holly King as Cinderella's mother, granny, and the giant. Perrine says the show is the most difficult he's taken on as a director. As the music is pre-recorded, there is zero margin for error. Into the Woods is also known for its underscoring, music beneath dialogue, and use of syncopated speech. The characters' lines are often delivered in a fixed beat composed in eighth, 16th, and quarter note rhythms as part of a spoken song. Sharon Abreu assisted with vocal coaching, but the actors have primarily learned independently. This is a light opera. There is singing through 80% of the show, Perrine said. Every person has risen to meet the role they've been given just beautifully. Like any community theater production, there's a legion of volunteers, some of whom are also cast members, instrumental in bringing it all together. This is Ossifa's first big musical as a performer, and she's stepping up in addition to creating many of the costumes. Frank and Tori are doing props, Perrine said. Mark Ferrari, a local illustrator, has donated a parcel of costumes and is designing the set pieces digitally. Perrine will project the renderings on the wing walls, build set pieces to those specifications, and then project a final illustration onto the finished construction. Regina Zwilling is stage manager. David Lienzen will assist with set building. Jamie Moriarty will run lights, and Jeremy Kaiser will operate the soundboard. This show is like a 7,000-piece jigsaw puzzle between cues, lighting, at the set, and the costumes, Katie said. As opening night is on the horizon, Perrine and Zwilling can't wait to share the magic of Into the Woods. I'm grateful for how this cast supports each other, the kindness, the camaraderie, the work ethic, Katie said. It's become a family in a really positive way. From the Journal of the San Juan Islands, In Appreciation of Native Plants, by Heather Spaulding. What began 10 years ago as a way to restore habitat through the San Juans has developed into a full-fledged native plant nursery. The Land Bank and San Juan Preservation Trust joined forces to create this because we wanted plants and seeds of local species for our restoration projects, and we just could not get them. They were not available, at least not easily, Eliza Habiger, project manager, explained. Gathering seeds directly from the local plants turned out to be ideal. We really want to grow local types of these plants because they are so well adapted to our climate and local conditions. So we started by collecting seeds in the wild. Then we grow the seeds in the nursery, she said. Some plants take 5 or more years to grow from seed to flowering. Staff members of both organizations put their heads together and decided to attempt to grow them themselves. The Preservation Trust, a nonprofit with the mission to conserve the natural beauty, vital ecosystems, and unique character of the San Juan Islands for future generations, care for the lands and waters under our protection, with our partners, connect people to nature, to each other, and to the Preservation Trust, according to the website. The Preservation Trust provides the land and facility at Beaverton Valley, while the Land Trust provides the labor and runs the operation. Over the years, with grants and private donations, we have built this awesome workshed, put in irrigation and power, Habiger said. The site rests between farms, where cattle watch and graze beyond the nursery fence, while Habiger and staff tend to the seeds and bulbs. Shooting stars and fawn lilies are already blooming, with camas and chocolate lilies ready to pop as soon as the weather warms a few more degrees. Many of the plants, like camas, grow in grassland prairie habitats or oak savannas. The plants aren't technically rare, Habiger explained. So much of their habitat has been lost or converted to other uses that they need help. Camas is a good example. It was grown by the Coast Salish people who maintained habitat for it. It was tended by people for thousands of years. Camas, she continued, is a culturally significant plant as well as an important pollinator plant. Being key pollinator plants is another common feature. Bumblebees, of which there are several species, are just one insect attracted to many native plants. Bumblebees will pollinate shooting stars by buzz-pollinating, using the frequency of the vibration in their buzz causing the flower to release the pollen. Watch when a bumble lands on a plant, and when it gives off a telltale buzz, it's likely using the magic of its wings to coax more pollen from the plant. It isn't just handy in the wild, either. Buzz pollination is used on tomato plants and other commercial plants as well. When asked if she had concerns about how local plants will fare with climate change, Habegger responded that while all may not do well, others would likely either find a niche to hang into, while others may actually thrive. These plants have been here a long time, and they've been through some climate changes already. They also have the ability to evolve, adapt, or find places in the landscape where they can continue to live. While we suspect not everything is going to make it, I'm personally not willing to give up on plants that have been here for thousands of years, Habegger said. They're not helpless. They do have genetic variability and have already adapted to a place that has really dry summers. They're adapted to a maritime setting and other aspects of an island setting. Oaks, in fact, were more abundant during eras of a warmer climate and would likely adapt well to warming temperatures. Habegger pointed to a patch of spring gold as another example. Spring gold is in the carrot family. The plant doesn't grow very tall, and when the foliage is crushed, it releases a parsley-like scent. These plants bloom very early while there is still moisture. They die back to the ground in a couple of months, and they're dormant for the whole summer. They don't need water during the summer, Habegger said. Their root system is deep underground, surviving the hot temperatures. When the fall rains start in September, October, or November, they spring back to life and green up for the winter. Their life cycle is really suited to a climate with a wet winter and dry summer. The nursery over the years has become successful enough that each September they hold a native plant sale where residents on each island can buy native plants. Salish Seeds has sold out each year. That doesn't mean the nursery is turning a profit. Those funds go back into the cost of running the organization. This year, the Department of Natural Resources has ordered 10,000 little plants for restoration projects. For those interested, there are several tours scheduled. April 21st, Habegger will lead 2 one-hour tours through the Salish Seeds Project Nursery located at the San Juan Preservation Trust's Red Mill Farm. Habegger will share the challenges and rewards of growing our local wildflowers in habitats ranging from a pot on the deck to a restoration project. Email tanjaw@sjclandbank.org to register for one of the 2 time slots or for more information. Tour 1, 1 to 2 p.m., Tour 2, 2 to 3 p.m. April 21st and May 1st, Habegger reprises her popular Lawn Be Gone workshop at Driggs Park describing how to replace your lawn with a patch of native wildflowers. During this in-person one-hour workshop, you'll learn how the land bank has converted 500 square feet of lawn into a meadow of 30 plant species, all native to the San Juans. Email tanjaw@sjclandbank.org to register for a workshop or for more information. April 18th is the first third Thursday of 2024. Join Habegger and staff at the Red Mill Farm Nursery for the full 3 hours, 9 a.m. to noon, or drop in as time allows. RSVPs welcome, but not required. Interest has been continuing to grow around local species. Habegger wanted to make clear anyone can grow them, even in a pot on their deck. People want to grow native plants because they know that we are learning it just makes sense. They are the best thing there is for local wildlife and pollinators. And they are really beautiful, too, said Habegger. From the Islands Weekly, Lopez Shines at Coopville Track Meet by Jean Helfman. The Lobos had the honor of participating in a 6-school invitational track meet in Coopville March 20th. As the only 1B team, Lopez competed against larger 2B and 1B/2B Orcas, Friday Harbor, LeConner, Mount Vernon Christian, and Concrete. The Lobos shone, both competitively and individually. Ethan Patrick won overall in both the 400 and 800-meter runs and took second in the high jump. Lily Nichols won overall in the 400-meter run, and Maya Briggs took third overall in the 400-meter run. Several Lobos placed in the top five in other events, often in crowded fields. 16 Lopezians turned in personal records in both track and field events, including the women's 4x100 and 4x200 relay teams. Given the abominable condition of the Lopez track, the Lobos can't host a meet and must therefore travel continually to compete. Visit lopezisland.org/district_info/calendars/sports_calendar to support Lopez Athletics. Visit the Lopez Island Boosters Club Facebook page at facebook.com/lobo.pack.3. In county news, Youth Conservation Corps accepting applicants for summer. Calling all island youth passionate about the natural world, San Juan Islands Conservation District is excited to announce applications are open for the Youth Conservation Corps, YCC, summer program. The 8-week program runs from June 17th to August 18th. 15 crew members, ages 12 to 18, are accepted into the program each year, led by 2 adult crew leaders per island on Orcas, Lopez, and San Juan Island. YCC has cultivated a stewardship ethic for hundreds of local youth since its inception in 2007. The program provides a win-win summer activity for families. The no-cost program provides a unique combination of outdoor adventure, education, and real job experience, including a paycheck at the end of the season. Crew members work alongside program staff, conservation professionals, and partner organizations on various projects, including trail building, habitat restoration, invasive plant removal, data collection, and beach cleanups. This summer, crews will work on 2 new citizen science projects focused on climate data collection in collaboration with San Juan Preservation Trust, and invasive plant mapping on San Juan Island's National Monument lands with Bureau of Land Management and QIOT. Each YCC crew will also participate in a special stewardship project with the Nature Conservancy, including an overnight camping trip to Yellow Island. If you or someone you know is an islander between the ages of 12 to 18 with a passion for the outdoors and interested in giving back to the environment and the community, YCC is a great opportunity. We encourage all who are interested to apply. In addition to crew members, applications are being accepted for a YCC crew leader based on Orcas Island. The position of crew leader is an excellent way to support local youth in meaningful conservation work while learning from and making connections to leading professionals in the environmental field. To learn more about the program and apply, please visit our website at sanjuanislandscd.org/YCC or email Mike Rosecrans, YCC Program Coordinator, at mike@sjicd.org. And now, a few excerpts from the San Juan County Sheriff's log. On March 27th, a deputy responded to a report of the shooting of firearms in a residential area on Orcas. The sheriff's office has received numerous calls regarding target shooting at this location, and the caller was informed no law or county ordinance regulates shooting in that location. A deputy on San Juan stopped the driver of a pickup truck in which a passenger was sitting on the down tailgate instead of in the cab of the truck where seatbelts were available for use. The passenger was then issued a citation for failing to wear his seatbelt. On March 31st, a Friday Harbor resident brought bones into the sheriff's office that are believed to be of Native American descent. The bones will be sent to the coroner for determination. On April 1st, a Lopez resident reported vandalism involving two flags that were hanging at the entrance to their property. On April 2nd, a report of a stolen mirror, which had gone missing in 2017 and not reported, was filed with the sheriff's office in Friday Harbor. Currently, there are no suspects. And I suppose now that the 7-year grace period has passed, anyone who broke that mirror has finished with their bad luck. This concludes the April 10th edition of the Island Digest. This edition is brought to you by Orcas Center. Orcas Center is your place for fun and intrigue this winter with live concerts, performances, art openings, and more. To check out upcoming events and purchase tickets, visit orcascenter.org. Thank you for listening to the Island Digest, a small sampling of what's in your local print newspapers this week. The Journal, Sounder, and Weekly rely upon advertising, subscriptions, and donations to support our mission of high-quality community journalism. To contribute, visit our websites or email publisher Colleen Smith Summers at csmith@soundpublishing.com. Thanks for tuning in, and come back again next week for more local news from San Juan County, Washington. I'm Caleb Summers.